Good evening. This is, my name is Adriana Kasnayev. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Board Personnel Committee. Today is January 4th, 2017. Michael, can you make the roll call?
Okay, hang on a sec. Serene Roberts?
Present.
Tony Norman?
Present.
This is Michael Novick. Wesley Bethune? Don't hear you. Margie Wilkinson says she couldn't make it. Jim Brown?
Present.
Jan Goodman? Don't hear you. Janet Coburn? Don't hear you. Adriana Casanev is the chair and is present, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's a quorum.
Thank you. Okay. Did everybody receive the draft agenda?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the election of pro tem secretary. Anybody wants to be the secretary or is in a position to be secretary for today?
Okay. I think I owe you guys from the last time I reluctantly accepted. I'll have to check. But okay, yeah, I will.
Thank you, Serene. Okay. Do you have the agenda? You can you read the agenda for, is any objection to Serene being the pro tem secretary? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Serene. Serene, can you read the agenda? Are you in a position to read the agenda for the
Senate? I'm just signing on to email, so maybe someone else can do it to save time.
I can do it.
Okay. Thank you.
To call to order, roll call, election of a pro tem secretary. That was 5 minutes. We didn't need it. Agenda approval up to 15 minutes. Minutes approval for 5 minutes. Update on the CFO search for 5 minutes. Item 7 is the ED search. Scheduled for 50 minutes, this is a discussion of the ED job description. It says Janet Coburn modifications, but Janet's not on the call yet. Setting a next meeting date for 5 minutes and adjournment at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you. Is any objection to the agenda?
9 p.m. Eastern, that's 23 minutes from now.
It's 10. I'm sorry. I wrote it in. I said 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern time when it was Central time. I'm sorry. It's 8:30 to 10 Central time. The adjournment time is 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Any objections? Okay. The agenda is approved. Do we have any minutes? I don't think so. We will go to item number 6, update on CFO search. We need, obviously, we need the PMB approving. Hello?
Oh, hi, Adriana. This is Wesley.
Hi, Wesley. Thank you for coming.
Sure. Sorry, I was late.
The only, I don't know if anybody have any more information, but we are waiting. We hope that tomorrow the PMB will approve the budget for the CFO search and start with the ads, the pay ads. Okay. I don't know if anybody have any other question or any other answer, because that's all that I have. If not, we will go straight to the EV search, the discussion of the recommendation that Janet Coburn sent. She sent it already. Let's see. She sent it in our last meeting. she sent it to everybody. Does anybody have it, or you want me to resend it to everybody, to the committee? Okay, I'm resending the recommendation from Janet Cobren. Let me know if you receive it, and we can start discussing.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, so I know that Michael had sent out, you had sent out, what, a side-by-side comparison or something?
I consolidated into a single document that had pointed out what the differences were based on whichever version I used as the base document. I pointed out how it was different from the other one.
And is that what Janet's thing was then based on?
No. I believe that, well, she sent it to us last week in our meeting.
No. I have what she sent, but I'm asking which version she started working on.
I think that she worked probably with both.
Is she going to be on the call tonight?
I don't know. I don't really know.
Okay.
No. But we can go through this and read it and see if we agree or disagree. Michael, do you have closely? Can you send to the committee yours, the document that you sent before? I don't have it here with me.
Okay, I'll look for it and send it again. Hang on a second.
Back, somebody.
Okay, I just sent it the different header.
Did anybody receive it?
My connection is slow, but it's here. I'm trying to open it.
Did anybody receive the email from Michael?
Yes, it came at 8:42. I'm just having trouble opening it, but it's my connection. Okay. It was timestamped 8:42 Eastern.
Okay. Can we see?
I'm trying to open them side by side so I can see what the difference is, if any.
Okay. Okay. Do you think that we can go to read the difference between the two of them?
Well, one difference I see immediately is, and I think what I did was I used the early one and then highlighted changes in the later one. So the later one said that the ED's performance is subject to annual evaluation by each local station board, which may make recommendations to the national board. That's not in the version that Janet has.
Mm-hmm. I believe that it's something that I see in the one from Janet that I think that is in a way looks better is that the numeral one said position report two, the executive director is selected, supervised, and discharged by and reports to the collective body of the Pacifica National Board of Directors, PNB. I think that in your version is numeral number two, right?
No, it's one.
Oh, okay, you have it there too.
No, the difference in one is that in the two versions that I compared, the second version added an evaluation by the LSBs of the ED. Now, that's not in the version Janet has.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other change in Janet is specifically saying that the CFO.
Well, can we go one by one?
Okay.
What the committee think about that? Because I personally don't think that ever happened that each local station board making an annual evaluation. Hardly they make evaluation of their manager, general manager, and program directors. I don't know if that sounds. And I don't know how much interaction the executive director have with the local station boards. What the committee think about it? Anybody?
I have mixed. I have mixed feelings. I also have a question. I mean, if we're talking, are we talking about an evaluation by each of the 24 persons that's on each? Well, sorry?
In one of the versions, what is, Michael, why don't you read one of the versions?
No. I'm looking at it. I'm saying I have mixed feelings about the idea. On one hand, you do want to get input that's as broad as possible, but you also want to make the amount of data that you're going to be getting manageable, you know, because somebody's got to create a report out of this. And how much direct interaction is there, you know, between an ED and the individuals on each LSB? I mean, that's 120, 121 people, right? Because KPFA has that extra. Plus, you know, the national board. I'd actually like to see And I think at one point it was standard that GMs would also be part of the evaluation process. But, you know, something, I'm sorry. The board can decide when it gets down to working on the evaluation, who's involved. In the version that Michael gave us, it makes that mandatory as opposed to optional. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying it seems to me that hearing from the GMs, in as much as they may or may not be comfortable participating in an evaluation of the person who will then be evaluating them, right, that obviously the GMs have a significant amount of interaction with an ED. But whether or not an LSB, you know, each LSB has enough interaction to make their involvement constructive, yes, or genuinely useful is a different issue.
Yeah, so just to be clear, none of this is mine. All I did was take the two existing ones we had and highlight the differences between them. I can't remember now whether that was something that was removed in the later version or added in the later version. I think what I did was I used the earlier version and then highlighted additions and, you know, lined out deletions. So I think that somebody on the PNB at some point added that in. I wasn't on the PNB and have no, you know, I have no fingerprints. So I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If I mentioned your name in speaking just now, it was just for ease in recognizing which version I was looking at.
Yeah. Sure.
Not holding you responsible for the actual content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I personally, I don't know if anybody else wants to talk about the issue. I personally believe that really doesn't, like we just said, Serene, most of the local station board don't have contact with the executive director. I don't understand how that will be really an option for them to make an evaluation. And basically, the local station boards are committees of the PNB. It's a standing committee of the PNB. It's not a body by itself.
This is Michael.
Go ahead.
I think the main contact the LSBs have with the executive director is in the process of selection of an evaluation of the general manager, the station manager. The local boards obviously make recommendations to the ED for the hiring, and then have an annual evaluation that is either concurred with. So I think there's some contact. I would say I'm fine with it being something that's at the option of the PNB to seek. In other words, in conducting its evaluation of the ED, the PNB can ask for input from the station managers, ask for input from the national office staff, ask for input from the local station boards as appropriate, particularly if there's been that, interchange on the question of a new station manager or evaluating an existing manager. But I don't think it has to be mandated in the description of the position.
Okay, Jim?
Yeah, I remember in the past, the chair of each board did participate in the evaluation. I don't know to what extent that can be done now, because it seems as though the whole process or the whole operation has changed since then. This is way back in the 90s, I think, that the chair of the board did get involved with the evaluation. But I don't know to what extent the chair of the board need to be involved now, unless we have something that I'm not aware of, where the board member, the LSBs, would be in contact with that person.
Mr. Serene.
Serene, go ahead.
Okay, so I move that we accept Roman numeral 1 as is on the JK version.
Okay. Any objection? Perfect. Hearing none, that we are going to number 2. I see, Michael, that in the one that you put together, you added what is in the first paragraph. You highlight, she is selected, supervised, and discharged by the board. Obviously, that is up there in Roman numeral 1, right? We don't need to put that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Can we read, is anybody able to read Roman numeral 2 from Janet? And then we will compare with the one that we have.
Okay, so Roman numeral 2, the executive director, I'm not going to do the parenthetical stuff. The executive director is the president of the Pacifica Foundation, general manager, chief executive director, and chief administrator, and is responsible for management activities at the foundation, including hiring of station managers of the 5 sister stations and national staff, with the exception of the chief financial officer. Also responsible for implementation of board policies and bylaws and oversight of fundraising, development, national programming, financial stability, physical integrity, and compliance with the CPB and FCC rules and regulations. Okay, we should probably stop there.
Okay. Well, I think that is more clear than the definition number 2 in the compilation of the other 2, right? Any?
Some things that are missing, I think, from Janet's are the other duties as assigned, which I think is important to have that kind of. In Roman numeral 2, on the.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Tell me which one.
In Roman numeral 2, on the earlier versions, it has a clause, and shall have such powers and perform such duties as may be delegated or assigned to him or her by the board. I think that language needs to be included somewhere because it's just a standard kind of boilerplate.
Yeah.
What I did point it out that it doesn't mention hiring the GMs, which I think is important, and it doesn't mention the national financial staff. So all of those things are corrected in Janet's. I think that's good.
Okay. Yeah.
I had a typo. I think after national staff. Including hiring the station.
Right, it should be a comma.
That should be a comma, not a semicolon.
Yeah.
And then physical integrity. I'm wondering whether she really means fiscal, F-I-S-C-A-L, as opposed to, I don't know what physical integrity means or how the easy can be responsible for the physical integrity of.
Well, I suppose.
Go ahead, Sydney.
Yeah, I think they're speaking to making sure that the physical plant is maintained, which I know is something that she actually would designate to each, you know, GM at the station, you know, the various stations. But in terms of making sure that it is, that the structure remains ADA compliant, et cetera, I think that's what that reference is to.
Yes. I believe so, too. Then, let me ask, do you think that the version that we have, Janet version, we should add that paragraph, Michael?
I think we have the sentence, the ED shall generally promote, coordinate, supervise the mission of the foundation to have such powers and perform such duties as may be delegated or assigned should be added. I can copy okay. from one, paste it in the other.
Yes. Yes, please.
I guess that's a motion. Let me add that.
That entire sentence, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would go after the word regulations and before the National Financial Staff Works under the direction of the CFO.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, I would want to change promote, coordinate, and supervise compliance with the mission. I mean, you can't really supervise the mission.
Yeah.
Yes, compliant. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, I added that on my version of the Janet document.
Okay.
Is any other discussion about that? Can we read it all together, point number, numeral, Roman numeral 2, Michael, as you have it now?
Yeah, the ED is the president of the Pacific Foundation, general manager, chief executive officer, and chief administrator, and is responsible for management activities of the foundation, including hiring of station managers of the five sister stations and national staff, comma, with the exception of the chief financial officer, CFO, semicolon, implementation of board policies and bylaws, and oversight of fundraising, development, national programming, financial stability, fiscal integrity, and compliance with CPB and FCC rules and regulations, period. The ED shall generally promote, coordinate, and supervise compliance with the mission of the foundation and shall have such powers and perform such duties as may be delegated or assigned to him or her by the board. The National Finance Staff works under the direction of the CFO. All Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other National Finance staff, report to the ED. Both the CFO and the ED report independently to the board.
Perfect. Any objections?
Yes, I'm still not clear on physical integrity.
Physical integrity?
Yeah, what does it
mean? It's a duty that essentially he or she will assign to each station manager, because I think that's actually replicated in their job description. But it would mean, for example, that they would ensure that the workspace is compliant with OSHA, compliant with ADA.
Okay, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. Can we read point number 3?
Okay, so here's the fiscal part you were looking for. The ED ensures that the foundation operates in a fiscally and socially responsible fashion in compliance with both state and federal laws and with the mission of the foundation to operate radio outlets. I don't think we need to reiterate. Okay, sorry, I was editorializing. Let me read. With the mission of the foundation to operate radio outlets that encourage the creative skills and energies of the community, contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between such groups, promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms, and employ varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, comprehensive news on all matters affecting the community. So I'd like to get on the staff.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so I would stop after the words with the mission of the foundation. I don't think we need to reiterate the motion, the mission in the job description.
Okay. Then will be the period after and with the mission of the foundation. That's it?
And stop right there. Yeah. Okay. Can go look up the motion. I mean, the mission.
Anybody else on the news on this point?
Yes, Michael.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, in the earlier versions, there are two separate clauses, 3 and 4. It separates fiscally and socially responsible, and the reason for that is that in the other version, fiscally responsible is a joint responsibility of the ED and the CFO. The other version says the ED, along with the CFO, ensure that the foundation operates in a fiscally responsible fashion in compliance with state and federal laws. And then there's a separate one about socially responsible. And I think that we should keep that.
Well, I think that that was originally in point 3 and 4. I think that Janet put it just in 1, like you said, and she had. For whatever reason, I believe that the idea of this is mentioning that to the, or reinforcing that when we put ads and when we talk about the job description, right? I don't know. Anybody else on the issues?
I want to speak, but I can certainly wait for someone else who hasn't spoken.
Go ahead, Serene, nobody else.
Okay, so I would move that portion about being fiscally responsible. I would move it up to Roman numeral 2 and just attach it to the last sentence there where we say both the CFO and the ED report independently to the board. It can simply be both the CFO and ED report independently to the board and are responsible and will ensure or should ensure that the foundation operates in a fiscally responsible manner, and then leave the social responsibility portion to the ED in Roman numeral 3.
Okay. Do you have it, Michael?
Well, I was trying to see if I can find the CFO job description. I can't seem to find it on my computer. Does anybody have that to see what we said about the CFO?
This is Serene.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure that it really matters what we said there about the CFO. Job description is always amendable by the board, you know, regardless of what it says. But I don't know that it's crucial to settle that now. I think we can simply agree or not to move the fiscal responsibility that they will be sharing up to the portion where we talk about their responsibility for reporting to the board. You know, they're separate. Or joint, if you will, responsibility for reporting to the board.
Okay, can you repeat, Serene, the exact part that you want to add to point the numeral, Roman numeral 2?
Okay, so after the current, what is currently the last, or as part of what is currently the last sentence, we can just say both the CFO and the ED report independently to the board, and must ensure that the foundation operates in a fiscally responsible fashion, compliant with state and federal laws.
Okay, so I got that.
You got that? Perfect.
Yeah.
And then we'll take fiscally and out of the Roman numeral 3 to say it is socially responsible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And with the mission of the foundation, right?
Right, but not detailing the mission, stopping after the word foundation. I don't think we need to reiterate the mission every place it says mission. I mean, folks can go look for the mission. It's easily available on Pacifica.org, and anybody who's applying for the job and hasn't thoroughly read the website shouldn't be applying for the job.
Well, we know that's happened, right?
Right, which is why they would be wrong for the job.
Yeah, well, you can say the same about, you know, people that run for LSD and they never read the bylaws, and then their power and duties. That can be said. Really.
I think if we're paying someone to run the organization and they've not taken the time to read the mission statement, they're probably not a good pick. So if they get to the interview,
no.
They say, oh, what's the mission station? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. I agree with that concept, but I figure, or I was thinking, that the idea to put it there is to, from the beginning, letting somebody understand that is not something else. This is exactly part of their duties. And they are enumerated there. I don't know. That is my idea. But, well, what the committee wants to do. Anybody else on this issue?
Yeah. It's not... I just think less is more. I got that from a friend, a good friend, who always points that out. So I don't think it's necessary, but if it's really important to someone else, I'm certainly not going to object to it. I mean, it does no harm. I just, you know.
Okay. Any ideas?
I'm taking it out.
I prefer to leave it on, but she didn't want to take it out. I mean, we can
decide
what.
I'm not going to lose any sleep over it being there.
All right, okay. So we'll leave it in.
Leave it like it's in point three for in the Janet version with a modification at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Can you then read it? Can you then read it, Michael, if you have it?
Well, I don't see it. I mean, the ED ensures the foundation operates in a socially responsible fashion in compliance with both state and federal laws and with the mission of the foundation to operate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Along that, it's protecting the community.
I think that what that part in compliance, both with state and federal laws, I think that we put that in the point number, in the Roman numeral 2.
Well,
social responsible fashion have nothing to do with the state and federal laws. That have to do with the fiscal. Right?
This is Serena at that point, but I think Michael was before me.
I think it's safer to leave in both places. I think there are laws about socially responsible broadcasting actually still remaining that we should rely on to a certain extent. We're chartered to be an educational, broadcaster, et cetera, et cetera. We have to operate, in the public interest and so on. I think all those things are legal requirements that, you know, I'd rather leave it in.
Okay. That's essentially my point, so.
Perfect. Anybody disagree with that? Okay. Hearing none, that's the point three. We go to the next one, responsibilities and duties. Anybody, you want to read it, Janine?
One second. Okay, general administration, responsible for fundraising, such as oversight of grant writing, major donor events, direct mail campaigns, etc. 2, managing and supervising national staff and general managers to provide for the effective operation of the foundation's public radio stations in compliance with the objectives and policies of the board of directors and consistent with the Pacifica mission. 3, appointing and facilitating the work of a national election supervisor in each year when elections for delegates are held. 4, selecting general managers for each sister station upon vacancy from candidates presented by the local station boards. 5, selecting interim general managers in accordance with Pacifica bylaws provision for selecting GMs. In the case of an emergency, the ED may appoint from non-union management staff an acting GM. 6, hiring, coordinating, and terminating supervised national staff. The Human Resources Director, Pacifica Radio Archives Director, Assistant to the Director, National Technical Director, Affiliates Coordinator, Webmaster, Network Programming Director, News Bureau Director, Administrative Assistant, National Development Director, and others as approved by the PNB, provided that the Chief Financial Officer shall be hired and terminated only by the PNB. And seven, conducting annual evaluations of supervised national staff and general managers with recommendations in consultation with human resources where appropriate. We already have half of these staff positions. Anymore.
Okay.
Michael, does this back?
Go ahead, Michael.
So, a couple of things taken out compared to the other versions. Number one, about fundraising, there was language about working in concert with the PNB station managers, development directors, LSBs, and appropriate committees to ensure the financial stability and growth of the network. And I think I would like to see that included myself, both because it talks about growth of the network, which I think is important to think about, and because it specifies a certain amount of collaboration on the responsibility for fundraising.
The one that you have highlighted in yellow, right, in your version?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I mean, it's not mine. Somebody was added it.
I know. I'm talking. Talking about
like.
Yeah.
There was also something else there.
Okay. Do you have it, Michael? Will you add it to number one?
Okay.
Okay.
You know, here's where I find this language. Well, I don't know. Maybe you guys can tell me. Do you hear a difference in work in concert and work in collaboration? That's my first question. And second is, you know, this calls on the ED to work with these other parties, but there's not necessarily reciprocity in terms of them attempting to work with the ED.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I recall someone complaining about, but going in the other direction. at some meeting, but anyway.
Anybody else on this issue? Do you propose any change of that language, sitting then?
Well, first of all, I like the Michael version, primary lead. As opposed to being, you know, solely responsible for. I don't know if I'm hearing a difference there that isn't significant to others.
Yeah, I think that goes along with the other one. I think the primary lead goes along with the other change, the addition, in the sense that those are all highlighted in the
other. Working concert.
Yeah, instead of responsible for, yeah.
Okay.
The team took out responsible for and replaced it with primary lead in and then added the...
Well, why don't we just substitute, why don't we just swap in the yellow highlighted language from the full Michael version.
And change that.
Take responsible for, change it to primary lead in, and
just
then add
the whole paragraph. Take the whole paragraph out and put in the other paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
That's a motion.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that one, let's see. Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Should be the whole paragraph directly.
Okay, beautiful.
Okay.
So that's a motion.
Okay. Any objections to that?
No, I think that works.
Okay, do you have it, Michael?
Yes.
Okay. Number two?
Managing and supervising national staff and general managers to provide for the effective operation of the Foundation's public radio stations in compliance with the objectives and policies of the board of directors and consistent with the Pacifica mission. So the older version, and it was taken out, was "and other business units." And I think it should be put back in, because otherwise the
yes.
PRA isn't there, the affiliates aren't there.
Yes. Perfect.
Someone speaking, I have a question, I can wait.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I know we are public and we are radio stations, but I know that in other discussions people have stressed the difference between considering ourselves or describing ourselves or being described as public radio as opposed to community radio. I don't know if that matters to anybody. I just wanted to point out the language.
I'd be okay with striking public and just say the Foundation's radio stations.
Yes.
And other business units.
Yes, another business unit, yeah. Striking directly public, striking that. Any objection to that?
No.
Okay, hearing none. We are going to number three.
Okay, so number three is the same in both versions.
Yes.
Appointing
yes.
and facilitating the work of a national election supervisor in each year when elections are held for delegates are held. I think it should be are to be held, but okay.
Any discussion on that issue?
To be held.
Mm-hmm. Instead of are held.
Yeah, are to be held makes it clear you got to appoint the supervisor first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Appointing, hiring, and facilitating. I think that is the same, right? We could have appointing.
Doesn't yeah, we don't need hiring.
Yeah,
we don't need the word hiring.
Appointing is good enough. Okay, the only change then is for delegates, when election for delegates are to be held. Right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. Do you have it, Michael?
Yes.
Okay. Number four. Can you read it, Salim?
Number four. Selecting general managers for each sister station upon vacancies from candidates presented by the local station boards. So the language there is the same. Michael points out, and I know it's not your version, Michael, but I can't find it. Tell me how you want me to describe it if you're uncomfortable with my saying it that way.
Yeah,
okay.
At this point,
okay.
As long as you're clear to everybody.
Okay, that it's not something that you cooked up. Okay, I don't know that we need sister station in there. I mean, again, it's not something I would lose sleep over. I just think it's not a necessary thing.
We don't need to add there the the Pacifica Radio Archives and the affiliates?
That's a separate one.
Is separate? I don't see it. Okay.
That's in SIF.
Oh, yes, yes. Number five. Mm-hmm. Yes, number five.
Because there's no board for the PRA, there's no recommendation.
Right. Okay. Then the only you are talking about the striking sister, right?
Serena? Yeah, but yeah, I mean, if there's somebody who feels warm and fuzzy about it and wants to keep it, that's fine. I just
for each okay. station. That sounds
right. Right. Yeah, just for each station.
Right.
That's fine for me.
Any objections to that?
No.
Yeah, I don't. What? Sorry.
No, I was going to say it implies each foundation station.
Right.
So each station is fine. I don't know if you should say sister station. I don't know. I'm.
Obviously, it's clear that nobody will let her elect a general manager for a station that are not part of the foundation.
Exactly.
That's
okay.
Very clear. Yeah.
We can use as many sisters as we can get, but I'm not sure one, you know.
I don't know. We're going to be called anti-male because we're sister stations, not sister and brother stations.
Okay. We will strike then sister. Any objection to strike sister?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, number four is ready. We are going to number five. Can you read it?
Okay. So number five, this is on the Janet version, selecting interim general managers in accordance with Pacifica bylaws. With Pacifica bylaws provision for selecting GMs. In case of emergency, the ED may appoint from non-union management staff an acting GM.
So acting GM should be interim GM?
No.
Said interim GM.
Different.
Yes. That's okay.
Different.
Go ahead, Michael.
No, that's the idea. There are two different positions. There's an acting GM and a temporary momentary,
right.
Interim.
Any discussion on that one?
No.
There used to be. Somebody sit here?
I'm sorry.
May I sit?
Yes.
Okay. So there used to be language way back when in the contracts that actually defined acting as opposed to interim. And maybe acting was up to 3 months, and then. But you know, I don't even. You know, the folks who went through busting up contracts really, well, there were a lot of changes, let's say that. So I don't know what precisely, you know, in terms of time any of this means now, but, I mean, I guess reasonable people might be able to come up with an agreed-upon definition at some point, but I don't think it's crucial to the job description. That can be defined or clarified in another document if needed. But I guess I'm a little concerned about, especially because the way the stations are structured now in terms of practical terms, we don't have as many staff at any of the stations, I think, or most of the stations as we used to. And I don't know that we would want to restrict the ability of an ED to put in place an acting GM by saying it has to be management staff. There are some stations where, you know, we may not have more than one or two people in that category. So, you know, in many places we have only a GM and a PD. We don't necessarily have development personnel, and we don't necessarily have development personnel in a management position. So that really narrows the choice. What you want is, if it isn't something that constitutes an emergency, you want the ED to be able to make the best choice for the station, which may or may not be someone who is currently in a management position at the station, provided it's someone who has the ability to manage the station, if you see what I'm saying.
I understand. May I speak? I think the key word here is may appoint. They're not restricted to it, but they can appoint from management staff or from someone else, appoint whomever they think may be best fit for it, since it's a temporary position anyway. It's an acting position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I hear what Serene is saying as well, but I think the word may here, may suffice there. I don't know.
Would you, Serene, may I?
Yeah.
Would you object to just striking, or I should ask you, how do you feel about just striking the word management?
Management staff. I see what you're saying.
Michael Riverside?
I wouldn't feel. I could take it either way, with or without. If you leave it in, what would you replace it with? Or what would you say? Just staff?
Can I answer? I know Michael wants to speak.
Yes, answer it and then go.
I would actually, at this point, strike both non-union and management and just say may appoint from staff, because you do want someone with a level of familiarity.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Michael?
I could go with that. I was thinking just to strike the whole thing, because even though may is optional, once you say something after may, it limits the options, doesn't add to them. So I agree with striking non-union management and just saying may appoint from staff and after GM.
I'll tell you why. I mean, even the fact is that if someone is currently in a union position and they're going to be acting as management, that probably is something that would warrant some discussion with the union about how they step out of their union role on a temporary basis, but maybe retain their seniority and their job, because this is an emergency. Right? So they're just acting for a short period of time. So that discussion is going to need to happen anyway. I think years ago we had a situation where someone, I think, went the other way, where they had been maybe in management and then they went, I don't remember all the details. But anyway, so I would take it up and leave the ED in a position to make what is a consensus choice, if that's what it comes down to, however that's managed. If it is an emergency where someone is being quickly removed, I would think that trying to find the right person and to deal with whatever the situation is that's causing that change, right? And it could be a removal, it could be a loss of life, it could be a medical issue. I mean, I'm not speculating about why we would get there, but when we get there, I don't think we need to add too many layers to make a difficult situation that much more difficult.
So, excuse me, Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
You say leave non-union in or take it out?
I would like to take out both non-union and management staff.
Okay.
I mean management, excuse me. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else on this issue, or I want to put myself on the stack? Okay. I have a little bit of a problem with taking out non-union, because obviously If you are an acting GM, you are a manager, even if you are an acting GM. And I don't know how complicated that will be. Like you say, setting take something, during a while, we'll be in a union. I believe that we are getting into murky waters if we don't specify that need to be in a union. I mean, a general manager couldn't be a union person and need to be established. I think that is the only thing that we have anywhere that talk about that issue. I don't know if I feel comfortable that somebody will elect somebody that, well, you know, it's not specifically said that couldn't be a non-union. I don't know.
I don't want to dominate the conversation. If someone else wants to speak, I can certainly wait.
This is Jim.
Okay, Jim.
I've seen it work where a union person became manager, and it worked out fine. But then in another situation, at a different station, I saw it work just the opposite. In other words, the union person came in and tried to run the station the way you run a union. In other words, there was always conflicts between different people that he tried to solve, and he didn't have the skills to articulate his particular policies or management style to staff that was non-union. So it created a problem. The same same conflict that union have with management came into the management staff through him. If you understand what I mean.
Yeah. Anybody else on this issue? Okay, Sunny.
Okay, so here's the reason I wanted to take out non-union. There was a time when there were, when in New York at any rate, we had, first we had paid and unpaid people, both part of the same union. And then when we were forced to separate that, based on an NLRB decision, we had an unpaid staff organization that we refer to as a union, and although that union, you know, they busted that up pretty well in 2009. I know that, for example, at KPFA, there's still an unpaid staff organization, right, that some people refer to as a union. So I didn't want the word union to prevent an unpaid staff person who might be quite suitable for the job from being considered. So I think the way it's used here in this job description, it probably means one of the paid staff unions. But unless that clarification is there, then, you know, it could also be used to essentially prevent any staff, right? Because who else is left?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony? Hello?
Go ahead, Tony. Tony?
I think I would agree with Adriana's comment. I don't think that position should be going to a union. Remain non-union. Because there are clear distinctions between management and union, and you don't want a union person managing the station. In fact, I think in most of the union contracts, they automatically, it says they can't hold management positions, hold the union positions. So I think it needs to be stayed like it is. It should be, if there is an appointment, it should be a non-union in terms of management.
This is Serene.
Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I can't really respond to what Tony said because I was trying to make a point of privilege that he was fading in and out, and I couldn't really understand much of what he was saying. But I just think it's an automatic block that could come back to bite us, because the best choice may be someone who is ordinarily a union member but who steps outside of the union, quote, protections, if you will, while they're acting as GM. So that's my concern. But again, I didn't hear, couldn't understand anything he said.
Tony, please, can you repeat what you said?
Yes. I stated I think it needs to stay where, I think it like the wording like
you, you're killing it. Sorry, Tony, you're fading. We cannot hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
It should be a non-union position. Management is a non-union position. And it should be clearly stated that it should be non-union.
Yes.
Because there are clear lines of distinction between union and management. And an interim is a management position. So I would support the comments that Adriana made. I think it should be clearly stated that it should be a management position and non-union.
Permission for crosstalk.
Okay.
Okay. So, Tony, I guess what I'm saying is that I don't know that this was intended to... I mean, okay. So, the concern that I'm hearing, I think, can be addressed if that person is not considered a union member for the duration of their service as acting GM. But I wouldn't want the fact that someone is a regular, let's say, paid staff person, but is capable of showing the leadership that is needed for a temporary, you know, for this short period of time, I wouldn't want that to rule out consideration of such a person. Because, and then again, as I said, if you're looking at unpaid staff as union members, or in which case, you know, this should specify that, I wouldn't want someone, I mean, you're either paid staff, unpaid staff, or management. I know some people use the term volunteer or whatever, you know, to describe people who've been doing a program for 15 years every week. I mean, that person's more than just a volunteer. We call them in New York, we call them unpaid staff. But in either case, you could still be in the union. There's no one else, there are no other categories left at a station. You're either paid staff, in which case you're unionized, except in Houston, or you're unpaid staff, in which case at some stations you are in a union, or your management.
Tony?
Thanks.
Go ahead.
No, my response is that we should leave it like it is, because if that person, who they want to select that person who is presently union and wants to go into management, then they would have to resign their union position to take the position. Then they're non-union. Then they can become that interim manager or whatever the manager is. But that has to be clear. I mean, if you say non-union, then that'll require them to resign their union position, and then they can take on the management position. And then when they finish, they can go back to union if they so choose.
Okay, so I have a different question then. And may I speak, Adriana?
Yes.
Okay. The way the language reads now, that's not even an option, because it says the appointment comes from non-union staff. At the time that this emergency develops, whatever the emergency, that person, the best choice may in fact be in a union. But this language, or at least as it's written now, and maybe someone can rephrase it, prevents them from even being considered because they're in a union. They should be non-union at the time of the appointment, but being in the union should not block them from consideration, is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know if someone can help me with language there that would convey that.
Tony, can I respond?
Yes, Tony.
I would still say leave the language like it is. There should be, this position is a non-union position, and it shouldn't be I don't even think unions should be affiliated with it. So I think we would need to leave. There's a reason that language is there, and we need to leave the language like it is. And the reason we leave the language like it is because a management position should be, management's consideration is for the management of that office and for the best interest of that office and for the best interest of the foundation. That not necessarily the interest that, that may not necessarily be the interest of the unions involved. So that's why it should be clearly separated and clearly two distinctions. And I think the language should stay like it is because there's too much, I think in the past there's been too much overlapping with that. Union is going to management, and that's reflecting itself if you look at some of our collective bargaining agreements. Well, we have too many managements who are either union or former union, and when you read these agreements, they're extreme. And not that I have anything against unions, but our agreements are extremely tilted toward unions. And that's because many of the managers that negotiate this are either former union people. For instance, sometimes when they negotiate these contracts, we negotiate, and I have nothing against, I'm in favor of unions and bonuses and increases. But if you're a manager, you know you don't have the money for that. You wouldn't put in a union contract, we're going to do bonuses and cost of living increases when we don't have the money to even pay their basic salary. So if you're a management, you wouldn't negotiate that. But if you're a union, you don't really care because you want to do what's in, what's advantageous to the union, and you would go ahead and do that. That's the big distinction between a manager and a union. So I think we need to leave the language like it is. Management should be a separate and independent consideration because part of our problem in the Pacifica Foundation is we've overlapped those two. And too often, people in consideration of union are making management decisions that are hurting the foundation as a whole. So I think the language is safe.
Let me put myself for a second there, too. I agree totally with Tony. I think that we should eat the language the way that it is. We shouldn't complicate it anymore. Like I said, people can change their positions. They can be talked, and they said that they want the position. They can resign from the union, but we don't need to complicate it. That need to be very clear that it's a non-union position. And I totally agree with the issue. And I think that we already have our positions. I don't know if we want to keep discussing this, but I think that we should go to a vote in this issue. I don't know. Anybody else?
This is Serene.
Yes, please.
Okay, so here's my concern about that, and I promise to be brief. And I'm also sending you guys language that I hope might address both concerns. People can't simply resign from union membership. It comes with retirement benefit, and this is for an acting position. Okay, this a position that might last 3 months or 4 months or whatever the case is. People cannot reasonably be expected to give up their health care, any financial arrangements they've made through the union in terms of 401k or 403b, I think, so everything cannot, there are certain things about their, quote, union membership that they should not apply during the period they're serving as an acting, but I don't think it's as simple as, well, stop, you know, leave the union so you can do this gig for 3-4 months. It should be leave your job position and any of the protections normally associated with it, but the ability to, first of all, return to your job would not apply if you, quote, quit the union. You know, I think we could be losing, you know, potentially important or people who could play a crucial role at what might be a difficult time at the institution by doing it. Anyway, so here's the language that I'm proposing. That instead of what is now there, now it says, in the case of an emergency, the ED may appoint from non-union management staff an acting GM. I'm asking us to consider a language that says the ED may appoint from among staff a person who shall not, I left out the word enjoy, union membership during their term as an acting GM. So it's not that, okay, I mean, I think it's either clear or it's not. I won't repeat it.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on this? Okay. Celine, can you take the roll with your amendment?
Can you read it again? I'm putting in the word enjoy so that whichever lovely person does these minutes will actually have what we vote on. Okay. So the language is in the case. Do you need to hear the...
That for a second?
Yes, Michael.
I think you need to put an acting GM after the word appoint, as opposed to at the end.
Okay.
Otherwise.
Okay, it's clearer. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay, so it will now read, if it's approved, in the case of an emergency, the ED may appoint as an acting GM or an acting GM, from among staff. No, so the ads has to go back, may appoint as an acting GM a person from among staff. Is that correct?
Sure.
I think I need to rephrase the whole thing. A person from among staff who shall not enjoy union protections.
What?
During their term as acting GM. So we'll just have it in both places.
Can you send it in writing or can you read it again?
I'm sending it and then I'm reading it. Of course, it takes forever to send. In the case of an emergency, the ED may appoint as an acting GM a person from among staff who shall not enjoy union protections during their term as acting GM. Or, maybe union protections in their role as acting GM. Would that be better?
If you're asking me, that means nothing. Legally, what you're putting there doesn't prevent that person for. It's nothing there that legally will say that that person will not act like a union member. I mean, what?
Right.
That's okay, folks. What I think that we really spend practically the whole time in this union or not union. I think that it's time for us to vote in this issue.
Well, we're kidding. You guys ready?
Unless that anybody else want to keep this back.
Did
anybody else on this issue? I hear you really far, Sidin.
No, I was asking whether anyone had received it because my connection is so slow.
Yes.
It's not even showing. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so ready to vote?
Yes.
Okay, Tony Norman?
No.
Jim Brown?
No.
Michael Nove?
Abstain.
Adriana Casanez?
No.
Wesley Bethune?
No.
Serene votes yes. Anybody else on that I missed? Anybody else join us? Okay, so it fails 1-4-1. That is removing, the new language. Removing, using the language that I sent that I still can't see. That failed. So I don't know. Where are we?
We need to vote in the motion in the paragraph like it is. Can you read it?
I had previously argued for removing the word management So we know there was objection to removing the word non-union. Is there also an objection to removing the word management? Can we vote on that?
I have to hear what is the context of removing management?
Just remove the word management.
Why don't you read it, Serene?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I have it back yet. Okay. Michael, you said you have it?
Yeah. In the case of emergency, the ED may appoint from non-union staff an acting GM. If you drop the word management.
Adriana, are you there?
Yes. I want to know what the committee wants to do.
Could I hear what the original language was?
It's just the same thing, both the word management after non-union.
Okay. The original said, in the case of emergency, the ED may appoint from non-union management staff enacting GM. What Serene is proposing is eliminate management. It will read, the case of emergency, the ED may appoint from non-union staff enacting GM.
Yeah, I would oppose that because there's a big difference between management staff and just regular staff. So I would strongly oppose that. No, I would leave the management in. So that makes a big difference.
This is
so management staff means those staff positions that are holding management positions in various capacities.
This is Serene, but I think I heard Michael, and I've spoken on this before.
I just wanted to call the question on the motion on the amendment to drop the word management.
You can't call the question in committee. Sorry.
That's okay. Serene, why don't you explain your position? We have two positions very clearly, and we can vote on it.
Okay, so I'll be very brief. At one point, we had more staff at each of our stations. At this point, we essentially have two or three people in those positions, and some of them are interim. But we have a general manager, we have a program director, and at some stations, we have a development director. As I said, some of those positions are vacant. Some of those positions are interim. If you are in need of an emergency appointment, it means your GM is out of consideration, which means essentially you're restricting the ED in an emergency to choosing between two people if both development and programming are filled, or requiring the ED to choose only the program director if that's the position that's filled, or only the development director if that's the person that's filled. There are people who work at our stations who have significant management experience, even if they have not been managers at Pacifica stations. So I don't think we should so narrowly restrict the choice or the options that an ED can exercise in an emergency. And that is why I would refuse, that is why I would ask that we consider removing the word management so that the choice can be made about the best person who can do it, not based on the position that they currently occupy within Pacifica, but because of their knowledge of the station and their other world, you know, their real world experience.
I mean, I have a question. I want to put myself there now. If there is nobody else wants to talk about the issue, I want to say something.
Okay. Well, Michael, you said we have 2 minutes left.
Oh, okay, Michael, go ahead, Michael. Say whatever you want.
I'm just saying we only have 2 minutes left in the meeting unless we extend time.
Yes.
I'd like
I have something briefly to say. Yeah, briefly.
I'm sorry, may I move an extension?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I would really like us to finish this tonight, and to that end, I would ask that we extend to 10 6:40. We can always end early.
Any objections?
Yes, I object.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
May I ask Michael a question? Was that you, Michael?
Yes, that was me. I have a million things.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure before I ask the question that it was you. Are you objecting to any extension or to an extension of that length?
I 15 minutes would be fine. More than that, I find objectionable.
So then I would amend to 15 minutes so we can at least finish this section and not stop in the middle of a section.
Okay. Any objection to 15 minutes? To adjourn at 10:15. Hearing none. Go ahead. I think that, Tony, you said that you need to say something about the issue.
Yes. All I wanted to say is keep in mind that we're only talking about the job description of the ED. So our keeping that in there does not restrict anything that the executive director can do and bring to the Pacifica board if they want to do that. So we're just talking about the description of the job description of the executive director. That's all we're outlining. And I think in doing that, we can focus the executive director to focus on management in terms of replacing management positions.
Yes. I want to put myself there. And I agree with the issue, too. I believe that in that case, the executive director can always appoint an interim general manager, and she doesn't need or he doesn't need any special consideration. The executive director can designate whoever that person wants, like an interim general manager. I think that in this case, the language is clear. I believe that we should leave it the way that it is. But can we vote on this, or we want to keep discussing the issue? Anybody?
Well, I want to keep talking about it until everyone agrees with me, but that probably is not a good idea.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on this?
Let me offer, this is Jim.
Okay. Jim.
I believe that if we understand the difference between an interim GM and an acting GM, we'll know that an acting person may or may not come from the staff that's in place. It may come from someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but when we talk about an interim GM, we're talking about somebody we're looking at to hire as a permanent person. So an acting person may come from anywhere in the staff. It doesn't necessarily have to be a person that's already in quote-unquote management position. That's why the word may appoint, to me, makes more sense than anything. It clarifies, it says that they could pull anybody from the staff to be there, who has the qualifications, who has the expertise to manage, to be a manager. It doesn't have to be a management person per se.
Okay, so, can we vote in this issue then? Or you want to offer an amendment, Jim?
I'm just leaving it as it is, works for me.
Okay. Okay, then we will vote. We have an amendment from Serene that we are voting in the amendment that is eliminating the work management. Can you call the roll, Serene?
Sure. Tony Norman?
No.
Jim Brown?
No.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Adriana Casanate?
No.
No.
Wesley Bethune?
No.
Okay, Serene votes yes. And did anyone else join the call that I've missed? Okay, so the vote on removing the word management fails. You do the yeses first. Sorry. Yes was 2 and no was 4.
Okay. Can we go to point number 6?
Michael, to the staff.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, I'd like to make one brief amendment to point number 29 and then move the adoption of the entire rest of Janet's proposal. The amendment to point 29 is to say, after the words human resources director, comma, if one exists.
Let me go there. I'll repeat that again. Can you read it and say what the amendment is?
Yeah, right now point 29 says developing, monitoring, and enforcing procedures and policies.
I cannot hear you, Michael.
Right now, point 29 says developing, monitoring, and enforcing procedures and policies and to maintain confidentiality on legal, personnel, and other appropriate matters in collaboration with the human resources director. I want to add after the word director, comma, if there is one. And then, assuming people are agreeable to that, I want to move the entire rest of the job description that Janet forwarded.
Is any objection to adding point 29, what just Michael said? Hearing none, that is adopted. And now, Michael, your motion is to accept the whole job description, right?
Yes.
The way that it is with the modification of the amendment that we did. Okay.
Yeah.
Any objections? Do you have any objections?
Serene objects.
Okay, Serene, what is your objection? Your objection is?
And it's my homework that I didn't do, I admit that, but I've not reviewed both the version that Michael had prepared for us quite some time ago, with, you know, the two old versions. I've not compared that fully with Janet's changes, and I would like an opportunity to do that before I approve it. But if others are fully prepared, because they have done that, I will certainly understand you're wanting to move on.
Yeah. And I want to point out that the little modification in the Janet Coburn recommendations are the part that are in red, right? Because the
mm-hmm.
are black, course, whatever we have. I don't know what you are proposing is what, Serena, you propose to postpone the vote? What is your... we go and vote.
I'm saying that I will not be voting yes on approval because I have not reviewed and compared them as thoroughly as I would like. But if other people have... we're more prepared and are ready to go ahead, obviously they should vote in accordance with that.
Okay. Can we go to a vote then? Michael motion. Serene, can you take the vote?
I can. Okay. So this is on the entire job description as amended. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Jim Brown?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Adriana Castaneda?
Yes.
Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
And I vote no. Anybody else that I missed?
No.
Okay. That passes 5-1. So we have ourselves a job description.
Okay. Thank you. The last point that we have in our agenda is set in the next meeting. Anybody on the tissue? Anybody check the calendar or?
Looking now. I would like to propose Tuesday the 17th.
It's open?
It's open. I have a question for Michael, though.
Uh-huh.
So finance is meeting on the 10th, and I know we've been meeting regularly on the 3rd. Oh, that is the 3rd Tuesday. The 17th is the 3rd Tuesday. Shoot. Okay, so then I would propose the 20th.
The next time we're going to set a date would be the 10th, in which case the 17th wouldn't be soon enough, so wouldn't allow enough
I thought the agreed upon pattern was third Tuesdays. No?
Well, the only meeting that's currently scheduled is the 10th. Is what I'm saying. So if we schedule a meeting on the 10th, unless we did it early in the meeting, it couldn't be for the 17th. It would probably have to be for the 24th.
Okay, so then I'll leave my proposal at the 17th for personnel.
Okay.
That's my motion.
Is any objections? Do we have any objection to the next meeting of personnel be January 17th?
This is Jim. I have another meeting that night on the 17th. 24th would be better for me.
This is Jim.
I'm just one person. Just, you know, still can meet.
Yeah, but you're one person who showed up. May I propose the 16th, the Monday? Can folks do that? Oh, that's King Day, right?
Yeah. I'll be in New York on the 24th.
Okay.
What about the 18th? There's a KPFK meeting, but is that what we're expecting, Michael?
I'm flying to New York. Yes, I'm flying to New York on the 18th because I'm going to D.C. for the counter-inaugural protests.
Oh, yeah.
So I probably couldn't make either the 18th or the 24th.
Ah, okay.
But that's okay. Me without me.
Unless that we get a Friday. Yeah, the other option
Friday the 13th.
Yes.
You guys want, no, that's not enough time. Oh, yes, it is. Today's the 4th.
Yes.
You want to do Friday the 13th?
Okay.
Well, I won't be there. It said Friday's a bad day for me. I can't make Friday.
Well, we need to decide.
I mean, you all could still meet. You all could still meet. Just one person.
Well, if we have the same situation. I'm sorry?
I can call in from New York.
On what day are you saying, Michael?
24th.
Okay. Then anybody have any problem with January 24th?
Okay. You said that was good, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's good.
Okay.
Then the next meeting I will post now for January 24th. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thanks, Stuart.
Happy New Year.
Okay.
Talk to you all tomorrow.
Gosh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.